This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line. Cork's 96 FM.
I'm joined by the leader of Fianna Fáil, or the leader of Sinn Féin, rather, Mary Lou McDonald, and getting confused between everyone at this stage. I have so many politicians with me. Mary Lou, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
That certainly was a Freudian
slip. Indeed it was. You never know.
Oh,
well,
no, I know.
Well, I suppose if we went far back enough into your past, we'd find membership, wouldn't we?
No, I think the people of Cork, the good people of your city and county know that I'm a Sinn Féin leader.
You are indeed. No, I wanted to talk to Mary Lou, and in particular to bring in those comments from the Melbourne-based epidemiologist, Professor Mike Toole. Going into the debate today on mandatory quarantine, what would you do if you were Taoiseach?
Well, I think he's given some very wise counsel there, and we would do well to listen to him and to learn from the experience of Australia and elsewhere. PJ, if I were Taoiseach, we'd already have a system of mandatory quarantine. We have been calling for this for almost a year now, and the public health experts have had recommended it to government almost a year back also. And the logic here is really, really simple. We have a huge job to manage, to get ahead of, to suppress this virus here on this island. And that has, as your listeners know, required just the most extraordinary sacrifices from people. Their lives have been literally turned upside down. But there is little sense in making all of those asks and bringing all of that suffering and disruption on Irish society if at the same time you have travel onto the island without the adequate testing. And by that I mean not just a negative test upon arrival, but a second mandatory test 5 days in, and a system of universal hotel quarantine for all non-essential travel. And that's not to punish people. I mean, ordinarily, as you know, we're very welcoming and we're delighted to have people visit Ireland. But now is not the time to be coming here. And I think the failure of government to introduce this form of quarantine is a very, very significant failure. And I know it's one that has caused huge frustration at this stage. And I have to be honest with you, PJ, and I've said this directly to the Taoiseach, who is, of course, the leader of Fianna Fáil. I actually do not understand why it is that they are still dragging their feet on this issue with the emergence of variants, which clearly have caused them deep concern. I mean, we now have a situation where the British variant, or one of them, is now accounting for the vast majority of infections on the island. We know that there are traces, there have been cases of the Brazilian variant. We're now hearing news of perhaps the South African variant. And there are many, many.
There's a rather worrying Californian variant.
Yes. The nature of this, PJ, is as such. You see, viruses adapt and they mutate. You know, this is almost a race between us and COVID-19. But they adapt and they mutate. And the more space and the more opportunity that they are given, that this virus is given to infect, it will change and it will adapt. And we need to be really conscious of the fact that worst case scenario, that could, in fact, undermine even our vaccination efforts. So this is a critical issue. And let me say, the opposition is united on this matter and has been for some time. And it's not a case of Punch and Judy or having a go at government. We are pressing this and have pressed it for months because it is so vitally important.
You're very good at sniffing the political mood, Mary Lou. Why do you think the government is resisting going for it like Dr. O'Toole says we need to?
I don't know. I think that they have been extremely reluctant, extremely timid is the word I would use on the entire issue of travel onto the island from the very beginning. I mean, I've had long conversations with them about achieving an all-island approach. In fact, I think I may have discussed that with you on this show previously, PJ, and pressing for example, data sharing between Belfast and Dublin. And for reasons that I will never be able to explain to you, if I'm honest, the administration in Dublin dragged its heels for a year, in terms of just basic data sharing, to the extent...
Their argument was GDPR.
Well, but the Attorney Generals had met. We were told that those matters had been straightened out. The administration in Belfast was ready, game ball, good to go. Robin Swan, a unionist colleague who is the Minister for Health in the North, a colleague of ours on the executive, was hugely critical of Dublin and of Minister Donnelly and the kind of delays that we were encountering. So I can't explain to you exactly why the reluctance has been there. I can confirm for you that the reluctance is a long-standing one. But more importantly, that's then and this is now. What we need now is a change in government policy, and we need a quarantine regime that ensures that all non-essential travel onto the island, 14 days holiday or a hotel quarantine with a negative test upon arrival, a second test thereafter or more as the public health advises. And that's really how we can see and create the defences that we need to have an end game to this cycle of lockdowns. And I think, PJ, we can agree, all of us, that that's what we all want to see.
Much as people will agree with you with regard the Republic and the need for mandatory quarantine, I don't think that anybody argues at this stage other than Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Green Party. But you still have the problem of the North, where you are, like you say, in government on the executive up there. And you still have the dodge, where even if we did have quarantine here, someone can still fly in to Aldergrove and hire a car and drive down unfettered into Ireland. So until something happens north of the border, we're kind of goosed.
Well, you're right to say that the all-island nature of this is problematic. And, of course, that's a function of partition, but that's a discussion for another day. Just to let you know, though, there are no international flights into the north now. So, no, there are none. And the problem that arises currently with the north is travel from Britain. And to that end, what we have long advocated with the government and with colleagues on the executive is that we adopt not just an all-Ireland north-south strategy, but a two-island strategy, and that the government in Dublin and the executive in Belfast press London for a coordinated
approach. Can you bring the DUP online for that, though? You're going to struggle.
Look, but listen, I've just described to you a scenario where a unionist colleague on the executive, now not a DUP member, an Ulster unionist member, was pressing for cooperation with Dublin, and it was Dublin that was resisting. Yeah. So it's I think if common sense prevails here, PJ, if a bit of cop-on prevails here, and if we get with it now and understand that we have now another shot at really aggressively suppressing this virus, and more importantly, as importantly, building the defences in terms of proper quarantine, but also testing and tracing capacity, a strong, effective and safe rollout of our vaccine programme. If we get all of those strands right, then we give ourselves the best shot, not just of suppressing the virus, but of staying ahead of it. And by the way, the government, the executive in the north, is a five-party administration. It is complicated by its nature. London holds jurisdiction on many issues, unfortunately. Still,
but would it be right in suggesting, Mary Lou, that if the executive in the north made some kind of resolution, London has to respect it?
They do in many matters, and the practical outworkings of it would be, of course, that would make a huge difference. But that's not a universal truth. But what I think is true is that there has to be very strong proactive engagement, particularly by the government in Dublin. And can I say?
No, the reason I suggested that is because we know that under Boris's plan, as announced the other night, from the middle of May, these international flights will start to return to Belfast.
Yes, and
at the same time, we could be approaching hopefully getting out of restrictions down here. Well, it's going to be very, very problematic.
Yeah, and that's why we have consistently argued, PJ, that there has to be absolute coordination, maximum cooperation, north to south and south to north. So communication between the government and the executive, communication between the government, between Dublin and London is all important. And let me say this, there's nobody imagines for a second that being in the executive at this time or being in government in Dublin at this time is easy. It is not. These are very, very difficult times, and I want to acknowledge that. But that said, when we are asking of the population just incredible sacrifice, and when there's people, PJ, who haven't seen a day's work in a year, people who have been sick, people who have been bereaved, all of the horror that we know of. In those circumstances, government has to be on its game and they have to be getting the basics right. And I consider testing and tracing, this issue of quarantine, the issue of the efficacy, you know, the smooth rollout of the vaccine. These are the basic building blocks and we have to get them right. And Dublin, in terms of the island, the government in Dublin has to be the leader in that regard.
In terms, though, of and staying with the executive in the north for a moment, and Morris is asking me to put a bit more thought into the political situation there. And it's this, Mary Lou, yes, it is difficult. It's a five-party executive and all of that. But you'll no doubt be familiar with Dr. Gabriel Scally, who, apart from anything else, is a very proud Belfast man. And he spoke to me on this programme a few weeks ago, and he said quite passionately, he said, come on, we got a Good Friday Agreement on the table and signed. Could we not do something about the border and the north?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well,
Sinn Féin and the DUP were sworn enemies, and you managed to cut a deal over on the Good Friday Agreement. Now, not everybody liked everything in it, but you did a deal.
Yeah.
Is it not possible to pressurise the DUP and not have them the problem?
Well, yes, it is. But that requires more than just Sinn Féin. That requires a collective effort. And I mean, I've heard Gabriel Scally express many times his frustrations. And can I tell you, they are frustrations that I share. But the truth is that from the beginning, there was an instinct, I suppose, among some of our unionist colleagues to look to London and Boris Johnson and herd immunity and a kind of a laissez-faire approach with this public health emergency. And it's important that you know, PJ, that the Sinn Féin members of the executive, Michelle O'Neill in particular, took that on, and it led to a number of very public disagreements and arguments and some very frank talking between ourselves and the DUP. And we managed to get a much better and a much more proactive public health approach to this public health emergency than would have been the case. And on that occasion, ironically, Michelle got criticised for having these arguments with the DUP. She only had them because they were absolutely necessary. Of course, the best way is for colleagues on the executive to deliberate, to be rational, to be fair, to understand that this is a public health emergency. It's not about the constitutional
That seems to
issue,
be the problem that the DUP have in understanding. They seem to have a problem differentiating between a public health emergency and a political opportunity. And, you know, anyway, look, let us move on to what might happen once we get through those difficulties and where we go from here, south of the border and the mandatory quarantine and all that. We're looking at the vaccine rollout. Now, other than the fact that the supply is still a bit slow, how do you feel about the way the vaccines are being rolled out?
Well, I think the issue of supply is a big one. I've heard that the government is now saying that that matter will be resolved and that in the second quarter and beyond that we will have greater supply. So I very much welcome that. In terms then of its rollout, I know every person who has received a vaccine, whether they're a frontline worker or some of our older citizens, the experience of delight and relief is just overwhelming for them. And of course, that is to be rejoiced in. I am concerned, though, that there are some who have been forgotten in the vaccine rollout plan. And I would like to particularly mention family carers. I've raised this with the government now a number of times. I've explained to them that family carers are very much part and parcel of the care system of the state. In fact, they save the state an estimated 20 billion euro every year in the care that they provide with love and compassion for their loved ones in their family homes. And if those carers, if their health is jeopardised, if they become infected and become sick, the question then becomes not just a real disaster for their family, but for the state also, because in the absence of those family carers, who does that caring?
Because the argument is made that once the person, the vulnerable person for whom they care, is vaccinated and immune, then where's the problem?
Well, the problem is that if the carer themselves becomes sick, what happens then? That's the question that they are putting. And I think it's important to say, I'm not arguing that family carers should, you know, gazump frontline workers or the very elderly and frail, and family carers, more to the point, aren't looking for that. What they are asking is that their caring role and responsibility is acknowledged, and that they are given clarity and given a place in the order of priority to be vaccinated. Because the reality is, if they become sick, if they fall ill, well, then their caring duties will fall to who? Will fall to the state? Will fall to the public healthcare system?
Yeah.
How will that work? And it's a very fair question. And I'm very disappointed in the way all of this has been handled, because I was given to understand last week, as was my colleague Piers Doherty from the Taoiseach and I from the Taoiseach, that advice was being sought from NIAC, from the immunisation authority.
They are rejigging some of the categories.
Yes, and in fairness, they took a look at those with serious underlying conditions, like cystic fibrosis, like cancers, and they have been reprioritised. But I understood that they would also be looking at family carers, and I think they need to. I think this is a serious matter, and I know family home carers consistently believe that they are forgotten and left behind, and because the work they do is behind closed doors and unseen.
We don't see them.
If
you don't deal with that cohort.
Yeah. Exactly,
Gardaí firefighters, still unvaccinated, still way down the list.
Yes, that's right. And we rely on these public servants to keep us all safe. I was listening very carefully, particularly to An Gardaí Síochána, when they're now trying to assess what their role might be in terms of quarantine arrangements. It seems that they have very little as of yet instruction or understanding as to what that is or what that might be. And one of their concerns is that they might be further exposed to the possibility of infection. And of course, that has to be weighed into everything that is done. And one of the things that has been really a problem, not just in recent times, but throughout this crisis, has been very disjointed communication, not just from the government to the general public, and you'll have seen that for yourself, but also from government and from different departments to stakeholders. It seems to be very patchy and at times very confused. So I was alarmed to hear that. Look, we need to get the supply of vaccine up, and I think we need to explore every avenue within the European framework, but also outside of it, if that's possible, to get the vaccine. And the sooner we hit those critical thresholds of 60, 70, 80% of vaccination, and let me emphasise, this has to be done safely and with people's consent. But once we're hitting those thresholds, it really is a very, very significant game changer for us.
Briefly, before I let you go, and there's a mood on the ground at the moment in the last few days. There's one incident up in Leinster, and I'll be talking later this morning to a business person who is thinking of doing it here. A lot of business people, small business owners, are getting so frustrated at this stage that they are threatening to open their doors and, as it were, go rogue in contravention of the restrictions. What is your message as leader of the opposition to somebody who might be considering that?
Well, I would ask them not to do that. And I would ask them that in the full knowledge of their deep, deep frustration. And I know myself from speaking to vast numbers of people who have been out of work and business owners who haven't been able to operate now, in some cases for the best part of a year, that they are hugely aware themselves of just how dangerous this virus is. I don't think there's a business person anywhere who wants to put themselves, their staff, or their clients at risk at all. But I do understand their frustration, and I think they are expressing what possibly everybody else feels, and that is a frustration at the lack of a plan. You see, I think people will do the hard yards. People have done the hard yards. People have made the sacrifices and made the adjustments in their topsy-turvy lives now. But I think it comes back to what I said to you earlier, PJ. People expect to see a plan, an end game, a light at the end of the tunnel, a reassurance from their government that actually we're getting the basics right. So I would say to those business people, we need government to get this quarantine issue nailed down properly. We need to get the right number of contact tracers. By the way, we still only have 800 of those, believe it or not, a year in. We need to make sure we have the right testing capacity, serial testing for schools and meat factories and beyond that. And then we need to move heaven and earth to get the vaccine supply right and to get the administrative chain right safely to the population.
But
and
if we can, people are thinking of giving it a go. As we speak now, people are thinking of giving it a go next Monday morning.
Yeah, well, I don't believe they should do that. That's not safe.
All
that
right.
is simply not a safe thing to do. Just final word, because I want this to be a hopeful conversation, because if we get government facing in the right direction, and as opposition, we will hold them to account. We will hammer them for doing the wrong things, but we will support them absolutely for doing the right things. And if we can get these right building blocks lined up, there is light at the end of the tunnel. But as we're speaking today, PJ, just remember, there are still high levels of community transmission. Mm-hmm. There are still high hospitalisations. We have some of our people in ICU. People are dying still from this virus. Now is not the moment to be taking a chance. And I hear the anger and the frustration. And God Almighty, I share some of it. But we need to channel that frustration in a positive way to actually force the powers that be and those that are currently in government to make the right decisions now, to face us in the right direction. And if we can collectively do that by pressurising them, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Greens, the whole lot of them, if we can exert that's a constructive action on our part. But opening up businesses or exposing people to risk now, please don't do that.
All right, leave it there for now. Thank you very much, Mary Lou McDonald, leader of Sinn Féin, leader of the opposition. Thank you.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.